The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, drug crime in Ireland last year reached levels not seen since the Celtic Tiger days. Figures obtained by the Irish Times show over 23,000 drug crimes were recorded last year, a level not seen since 2008. Some of the seizures are reported to be linked to the hacking of a Europe-wide encrypted phone network last year, but so far there have been no official announcements of seizures made with that information in Ireland, unlike in countries across Europe. And it seems there is still much to know about how exactly the Gardaí have utilised this bounty of intelligence. Nicola Tallant is Special Investigations Editor with the Sunday World and the host of the Crime World podcast, and she's on the line now. Nicola, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, the figures suggesting Celtic Tiger levels of drug seizures. Is it the case that more drugs are being found, or more drugs are being moved to meet the demand, and they're in a pandemic when not that many people are out and about, they're just being caught by the Gardaí?
Yeah, look, there's more and more of these of drugs coming into Europe, and that has been stated only recently by Europol. They are saying that basically there's just this absolute dumping ground in Europe for drugs from the South and Central American drug gangs. We're still a growing market. I've been talking to colleagues in Belgium and in the Netherlands very recently for a podcast I was doing on this EncroChat phone hack, which happened last summer, and it resulted in in basically law enforcement all over Europe getting a clear window into what was happening in organised crime. It also resulted in a lot more seizures than there would usually have been, but they were all massive, massive, massive tonnage of drugs rather than kilos. Like what would have been a sort of a written about drug seizure in the recent past is no longer even valid anymore because they're too small, you know. So basically in the big ports around Europe, in Rotterdam, Antwerp, they are just seeing absolutely huge amounts of cocaine coming in. I mean, it's shocked law enforcement, the amount of it that's coming in. So obviously we're just getting, we're getting
that
too.
What you're telling me, though, is that this phone hack, this EncroChat phone hack, gave them the leads to make these busts at the ports. But it shows maybe how much they were missing over the years.
Oh, it does, absolutely. I mean, as I said to you, it has shocked the authorities. I mean, in the UK, which the NCA, I think, have arrested 1,500 people since that hack. Many of them have been brought before the courts and some of them are already convicted. But they were shocked by the levels of drugs, guns and dirty money that's been moving around. Not under their noses, because by its very nature, organised crime isn't exactly going to be open about things. But the levels of it are just phenomenal. Now, they've a totally clear picture for the first time of exactly who's who and what they're doing in it. And that's what this hack, gave them. To explain to you, Pat, these EncroChat phones were being used by criminals who believed that they were bulletproof communication. They believed the sales pitch that they could never be hacked into. And so they were going about their business very, very openly on the phones, and not even trying to, in some cases, use code or anything. So it was hacked. The servers were found in France, in Roubaix, and the Dutch authorities and the French together worked out how to basically put malware on all these phones, and then they could watch live. Now, they did so for 2 months before the actual phone system realised what was happening and alerted all the users.
What happened then? I mean, did the intelligence completely dry up and then they were back to doing what they had been doing? Because I'm sure those who were exporting the stuff from Colombia or wherever else, when they saw all these seizures, they must have been tearing their hair out wondering, what are we doing wrong? Why are the police so successful? And having realised something was compromised, changed their modus operandi.
Well, in most cases, when they actually export the drugs, it then becomes the responsibility of the gangs in Europe to bring them in. So the Colombians probably didn't care what was happening. They were getting their money anyway. So what happened was a lot of the criminals moved to a new system called Sky, which was hacked in Belgium only in March. And that resulted in another big move on organised crime there, and other countries were given intelligence. There has been 1.4 tonnes of cocaine seized at the port of Antwerp alone because of that hack, which is worth, I mean, billion, you know. I mean, it's absolutely, the figures are off the scale. But I suppose what it all shows is the amount of this stuff that's coming in, and it's not coming in and sitting in piles. It's been used. It's been purchased by people on the street. It comes all the way down the levels of organised crime till it's been sold on the streets, or, you know, through the internet or whichever way people are buying it. And they're using it. So there is a phenomenal demand, and it's growing all the time.
Now, in terms of the busts that are happening in Ireland, where are they concentrated?
Well, Ireland actually, and this is part of the podcast thing I did last week on this Anchor Chat, Ireland received the intelligence in the same way other countries did. But it appears that the information came in and the decision was made that they would hold on to it for the bigger picture. Now, most other countries who got that intelligence saw that the bigger picture was then and now. It was the time to move. But the Irish have taken a kind of a different approach to it. And while there are a few seizures that can be seen, intelligence-led seizures that can be seen there that happened during this time of this live hack, they're like nothing compared to what happened in the UK and across Europe. So, you know, management decisions were made in relation to how to handle that intelligence, and we just have not seen the same amount of movement on organised crime that other countries have.
But do we know whether there was anything of relevance to Ireland in that EncroChat hack?
Oh, it's undoubted that there was relevance in it, because you know, Ireland was included in the countries who were, you know, the phones were being used. That's why we got the intelligence. There's an awful lot of cross border, you know, a lot of drugs come from the south up to the north. So the PSNI have made a lot of arrests and seized a lot of money and drugs. And obviously the NCA in the UK as well, which would be very, very tightly connected with the UK when it comes to drug routes. You know, the drugs come in from the UK and the money goes back out that direction. So they have cleaned up the National Crime Agency there. They have, like, I mean, they have just, they're still actually using the intelligence. They only in the last couple of weeks, they were able to dismantle drug factories, which had been established in the UK. So it's very interesting stuff. It's very kind of new age policing, and these networks, I mean, actually the criminals were kind of sold a pup by actually purchasing these systems, because they're no different to the free ones that exist, like Signal and those other systems that we all use all the time. Encryption is there. It's used when we purchase things on the internet. These actual phone companies that were established just to supply to criminals, what they did was they herded all the criminals into the one place. So it was quite, once they did hack into it, it was quite easy to find. Well, there was no legitimate business people operating on them.
So your take on this and the Garda's use of this intelligence, is it that they're not using it, or is it that they're not telling us that they had access to this EncroChat?
My information is that they had access to the EncroChat information, and we were told that by Europol during the press conferences last year. My understanding of it is that there was high level decisions made, and that the decision was that not to kind of move in the same way other countries did, not to share this intelligence out. So to explain to you, in the UK, for example, the NCA, the National Crime Agency, actually developed a computer program, because they were getting so much information in that the computer program was able to divide it up into packages. And they would then send that intelligence to the relevant place. So if you had information in Birmingham, it went straight up to the organised crime units fighting that in Birmingham. My understanding is here that there, while there was certain parts of it acted upon, it was nothing compared to our European and UK and Northern Ireland partners. I mean, we're on the same island as the PSNI, and they were able to make very high profile arrests up in the north. I mean, in actual fact, a number of the people currently before the courts in the north are from the south. And look, there's been challenges to some of the legislation. In some cases, the criminals were caught red-handed with the guns, with the drugs, with the money. So some of them have already pleaded guilty because they're just banged to rights. In other cases, they will be relying on the information that was hacked off these phones. And that has been challenged in the UK, but already the most senior courts in the UK have said that the hack was legal and that the information can be used. There's currently a challenge in France, which again will go through the courts. It wouldn't be normal if defence barristers and defence teams didn't challenge everything they could for their criminal clients. That is to be expected. But the decision here appeared to be that they wanted to avoid any perceived challenges in the courts going forward, and that they would hold on to the information by and large for ongoing sort of bigger intelligence. It wasn't a good decision.
Nicola Tallant, Special Investigations Editor with the Sunday World and the host of Crime World podcast. Thank you very much, Nicola, for joining us.